Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, March 3rd. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with a Northwestern University law professor who studies the powers of local government. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers are considering several bills that could increase the availability of housing. IPM Student Newsroom's Juliana Means has more on one of these measures, known as the People Over Parking Act.
Right now, every housing unit that's built in Champaign County is required to have its own parking spot for every 200 feet of floor area. But for many people who don't have a car, parking spots aren't necessary, and they take up space that could be used to construct more housing. The People Over Parking Act would prevent local governments from enforcing these minimum parking requirements if a development is half a mile away from a public transit stop. Adani Sanchez is with the housing advocacy group Abundant Housing. She says the bill would allow developers to decide whether parking spots are needed.
And this is going to be another way to encourage people to use the transit that we already have, that we're already paying for.
Lawmakers are considering this bill and two others that Sanchez said would increase access to housing to more people in central Illinois. I'm Juliana Means, IPM News.
The U.S. Department of Education has told schools to end diversity initiatives and avoid decisions based on race. Those that don't risk losing federal funding. A judge has blocked part of the Trump administration's orders targeting diversity programs. And IPM's Emily Hayes reports education groups in Illinois are urging local school districts to tread carefully.
In an open letter, Illinois Superintendent Tony Sanders said the request can't be legally enforced. He says schools don't have to change the way they teach Black, Mexican-American, and LGBTQ+ history as required by state law. The state superintendent's words drew criticism from some Republican state lawmakers. Members of the Illinois Freedom Caucus wrote to the Department of Education, accusing him of defying federal law and urging President Trump to respond. The Illinois Association of School Boards took a more cautious stance. It said in a statement that districts should take a measured approach to the federal education guidance. I'm Emily Hayes with IPM News.
Around 150 community members and University of Illinois students rallied in downtown Champaign this past weekend to support immigrant rights. Protesters played drums as they marched from Westside Park Saturday afternoon. The group chanted in opposition to the Trump administration's efforts to deport people in the U.S. without legal status. Derek Bryles was an event organizer with the activist group Party for Socialism and Liberation. He says the country should support immigrants and not demonize them.
This country was built by immigrants. This country runs on immigrants and migrant labor. They deserve to be here. They deserve to be safe. They deserve to be welcomed. And that's what we're here for.
The protesters blocked vehicle traffic in downtown Champaign before returning to Westside Park to play music and hold a community discussion. The Fighting Illini baseball team lost to Texas Tech at number 15 overall Texas and defeated Washington in the Las Vegas College Baseball Classic over the weekend. IPM's Colin Hyslop has more.
The Illini struggled on the pitching side over the weekend, giving up a combined 34 runs in the tournament. Top performer of the young season for the team is Jack Zabog, who leads the team in home runs and total bases. The team has an overall record of 6-4. On Tuesday at 6 p.m., they'll play Eastern Illinois at Illinois Field. I'm Colin Hyslop, IPM News.
Still to come, we'll listen to a conversation with a Northwestern University law professor who studies the powers of local government. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, partly cloudy with a high of 54 degrees and a south wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight and a low of 42 degrees. South wind, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, cloudy and breezy with showers and thunderstorms likely and a high of 58 degrees. South wind, 15 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 40 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy and breezy with rain likely and a low of 44 degrees. South wind, 10 to 20 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, cloudy and breezy with rain likely and a high of 45 degrees. A west wind 15 to 25 miles per hour, gusting to 40 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, it's been years since avian flu started causing trouble for farmers. It's affecting animals and the food we buy at the supermarket. The risk to people remains low, but cuts to science and public health under the Trump administration put in jeopardy our preparedness for disease outbreaks. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about that next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Some legal experts say President Trump is pushing the envelope when it comes to asserting federal power. The administration is taking Illinois to court over its laws limiting cooperation between local law enforcement and federal immigration agents. But can the federal government actually block state policies? To find out more, Mawa Iqbal talked with Nadav Shauked, a Northwestern University law professor who studies the powers of local government. He starts by telling us about the importance of the Constitution.
So for anything that the federal government does, it has to pinpoint a source for that action in the Constitution. Now, if they can find such a source, so a basis for the action that Congress or the executive or the president took, then whatever they did is supreme to state laws. However, if they do not have a basis for their action in the Constitution, then they just can't do it. So it's a power that the 10th Amendment just states it, but then it means that if it's not in the Constitution, it's a power that's left to the states.
So in our legislature in Springfield, you know, we have these lawmakers saying that they want to protect access to abortion and gender-affirming care and environmental regulations and, of course, like we're talking about, immigrant communities. So I guess in what ways can they do that under a Trump administration that is actively trying to roll these policies back?
So where the state has the strongest, just in practical terms, the strongest footing is when it comes to issues of enforcement. So the federal government cannot force the state to use its police, either the state police or local police forces, to enforce federal laws. And that's exactly what we're seeing now with immigration. So Chicago, Cook County, and the state of Illinois are saying, we're not telling you, the federal government, that you can't have these immigration policies because that is a federal power, but we're just not going to enforce it. Another thing that the state legislature can do in almost all these causes, whether it's with respect to undocumented immigrants, whether it's with respect to whether it's to women seeking abortions or people seeking gender affirming care, is money. The state has its budget, and the state can give that money to whomever it pleases.
So speaking of money, right, is that a way that the federal government can try to stop some of what the state of Illinois wants to do just by withholding federal funding?
So last time around, the real limitation that the federal government kept hitting its head against was that a lot of the funds that are allocated to states and localities are allocated based on federal statutes, so congressional acts that don't leave too much discretion to the executive, so to the president, to DOJ, or whatever department. There also is the chance, I mean, it's much more difficult to prove from the perspective of states that at a certain point, if you withhold money in such a way that it's almost like a gun to the head of the states that they have to adopt a federal policy, then you could have a federalism issue, that is to say, a federal intervention with state powers in an unconstitutional manner. But that's a high bar to clear. With this administration, who knows? So yeah, maybe they will.
It seems like the Trump administration basically has two courses of action if they want to stop a state from doing something. So it's the money, which is getting tied up in the court system right now, but also then it's their own lawsuits, like bringing, you know, the state to court with this DOJ lawsuit against the city of Chicago, Cook County, and Illinois.
Yeah, so this is the brand new move. This is not something we saw 8 years ago, these kinds of lawsuits, and that's clearly pushing the envelope. From their perspective, you can't win a lottery without buying a ticket, so yes, their legal argument might not be that strong, but you're going to make it anyway. That's the only way to win. But this is really where they're doing something that they did not do the last time around, and that from a legal perspective is much more adventurous.
That was WBEZ's Mawa Iqbal talking with Northwestern law professor Nadav Shoked. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Juliana Means, Emily Hayes, Maria Picante, Colin Highslope, and Mawa Iqbal. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.